Good morning, Bread of Life Church. Thank you for joining us today. I pray for protection and comfort in this challenging time. And I just wanted to encourage you with what Paul said to the Philippians, how he's learned to be content in any situation, where whether it be an awful situation or a wonderful situation, that he has placed his strength in Christ, and therefore he can be content in any situation because he knows that eternity is waiting for him. And so I would encourage you today to know that if you are in Christ, you can abound. You can be content in any situation, no matter what happens, knowing that God is with you and that eternity is on the other side. So worship with me this morning, and we praise you, Lord, for who you are and what you've done. In Jesus' name.
That has breath, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. With all of my heart, with all of my strength, with all that I am, I will sing. Let everything that has breath, of mercy so deep I could never depart. Father, your wonders are endless. Open my eyes to believe. Awake my soul. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Oh, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. With all of my heart, with all of my strength, with all that I have, I will sing. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. With thanksgiving on our lips, we enter your courts today. All our lives we freely give, awaken my soul to praise. With thanksgiving on our lips, we enter your courts today. All our lives we freely give, awaken my soul to praise, my soul to praise. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Oh, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. With all of my heart, with all of my strength, with all that I have, I will sing. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum, thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. As soon as they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord. Darkness. sins there are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. His sins they are many. His mercy is more. His sins they are many. His mercy is more. His sins they are many. His mercy is more. Built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is.
God bless you, folks. So glad you tuned in today. This is Pastor Bert Lloyd from Bread of Life Church in Bowlville, New York. And it's a good time to be together and in fellowship. I'd like to open with a word of prayer and thank God for this time. And that we do, Lord God, we come to you and thank you for your presence with us. Pray that you would guide our time together, Lord God, and comfort those, Lord God, that are having any sort of anxiety, Lord God, or stress, Lord, at this difficult time. I pray that you would fill my heart this day, Lord God, with words that you might deliver and open up the hearts of the people in this congregation, Lord, to receive all that you have for them. We pray your Holy Spirit would move in our midst, Lord God, and would be attentive to your word. We bless you this day and we praise you for your love in Christ's name. Amen and amen. So again, at this challenging time, it's comforting to know that we have a Savior that is in charge of all things, not only of our lives, but of all the world. And a scripture that has always helped me is in Philippians 4:6. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord." So for me, I found great consolation in the truths contained in this verse. And sometimes it's easy to say a verse, but to know what backs it up is the main thing. What backs this verse up for me is the fact that it is about Jesus Christ. For all those whose mind is centered on Jesus Christ, he'll keep them in peace. And I base that also on the fact that Christ not only died for my sins, but he rose again. So Jesus demonstrated himself to be God in control of life and death. And so if one can control life and death, and that is Jesus Christ, then he certainly can control some of the incidental aspects of this life. So he has set us apart for a holy purpose. He has called us, and he certainly will be with us throughout this entire time of a concern as we're fighting this virus and looking for God to move in a wonderful way. I'd like to look at a scripture today, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is it that overcometh the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So, 1 John, looking at the first verse of this, whoever believes that Jesus Christ is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. So I'm looking at each one of those specific aspects. Everyone who believes, taking believe and then Jesus is the Christ and born of God. Believes here must be understood as believing and receiving the truth of all the benefits and responsibility that accompany the confession of faith in Jesus Christ. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of the Father. You must believe that He, the Son, came to this earth incarnate as Jesus. God became man, 100% man, 100% God. He lived a perfect life. And we must believe that He offered that perfect life as a sacrifice for your sins and for mine. And He paid the punishment of sin, the penalty of sin. We must believe also, especially, that He rose from the dead. One that rises from the dead. And the reason that He rose from the dead is because sin couldn't hold Him, because He had paid for sin. We must receive the benefits of confessing our sin and rejecting that sin. And we must rely on Christ alone for the forgiveness of our sins. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Receive Him as your Lord, as your God, as your Savior. And receive the Spirit of God within you. That's the beauty of it, that we have received the Spirit of God. So, 1 John 5:1 again. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Well, John states that we must believe that Jesus is the Christ. That is meaning that He is the promised Messiah from the Old Testament. The Jews had a vague understanding of the Messiah, which was presented in the Old Testament scriptures and clarified by John the Baptist, spoken of by Jesus Himself, and affirmed by the apostles and the New Testament scriptures. So the Jews understood the Messiah to be the one that would come and restore Israel to the land and to its former glory, would set up the Messianic age, and He would rule and reign over Israel. John the Baptist clarified this when he said that the Messiah's mission, when he looked at Jesus, it said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Jesus showed this to the two men on the road to Emmaus. I love that scripture. It says, "And beginning at Moses and the prophets, He expounded unto them all the scriptures, in the scriptures, all the things concerning Himself." And I wonder what that must have been like, that conversation that Jesus had with those two on the road to Emmaus. He must have explained His incarnation or shown verses of His birth and of His teaching, of the mission, especially in Isaiah 53 and in Daniel 9, where it speaks about the Christ, the Messiah coming, telling about the miracles and the suffering and the sacrificial death and, of course, the resurrection. And so looking at that scripture again, He said, who believes this is born of God. And in the moment, and what it is to be born again, or born of God, as it's stated in this scripture. Well, in the moment that the contract is completed between you and God, you are given what the Bible says is the earnest of your expectation, the down payment of your future, the evidence of your transformation. And that evidence is the Holy Spirit is given to you. The presence of God in your life. You are now the temple of the living God. You have been born again. 1 John 5:1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of the Father. So who has been born of the Father? Why, we love Jesus Christ. He has been born of the Father. And we also love all that have been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we love the brethren. There is a connection, a spirit connection. We share the same spirit with all believers, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit connection. So in verse 2, it says, "By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. We love others for Christ's sake. We love others because He loved us." And what is the commandments He has given us? Well, love God and love others. Jesus said that when He was asked that question, what is the greatest commandment? He said, in essence, to love God and to love others. So to keep the commandments is to love. And to love God and to love others is the fulfillment of the law. Christ said that that is the fulfillment. And to love by the power of the Spirit is what the main thought is in my heart today. Looking again at what true love is. Only those that have the Spirit of God in them are capable or able to love on this level and in this manner. The world has its type of love, and it is wonderful. A love because it's mine, or my child, or my wife, or my husband. Or love because it seems the noble thing to do, We would love any child maybe that was in distress. We would try to help them or help any individual that maybe needed assistance. Love because it's the better option than to see or allow suffering. So we want to alleviate that as best we can. And in no way do I depreciate that human love. But that human love could never compare with the love that God has extended to us and has placed within us in the power of the Holy Spirit. But human love comes from self, whereas the love that I'm speaking of can only come from God alone. Now, I've spoken on this before, but I want to reiterate this again, as I had in an earlier chapter, John. We love Christ because he loves us. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. It's the dwells in us. We love Christ because he dwells in us. That is the part that is the operative factor. We love because we were first loved, yes, the meaning that this love has entered into us. The love of Christ, the love of God, the Spirit of God has literally entered into you. So Christ in us is that which produces this God love. But to look at it from another angle, we're not only indwelt with Christ, Christ in us, the hope of glory, as the Bible states, but we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Or rather, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of the living God. It is expedient that I go, Jesus said, for if I do not go, the Holy Spirit won't come. The Holy Spirit came to fill us all, where Jesus only could communicate with us in his human form. Now, in his spiritual form, in the Holy Spirit, he indwells each and every believer. The same God, but the different person of the Trinity. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are all one, different personages in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So to help illustrate this, love produced by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, I made a comparison to what true worship entails. First, is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So I'm making that, the Bible states that in my flesh dwells no good thing. So how can I give an adequate worship to God in my flesh? I may sing, I may jump, I may clap my hands, I shout, I can roll on the floor. But this may all be fleshly expressions. That is why Jesus said, you must worship God in spirit and in truth. In spirit, meaning that the heart is where true worship originates. And in truth, along with other thoughts of truth, the truth of worship is that it must be God, the Holy Spirit, doing the worshiping. Literally, God himself worshiping through us. The Holy Spirit in us is worshiping, literally, the Godhead. This was a liberating revelation to me. I'm sure other men of God have thought about this, but for I had always had a feeling of inadequacy in my worship and praise to God. But as I allow the Holy Spirit to worship through me, let the Spirit rise up within me, and I am now the vehicle to deliver worship to God. I now can experience true worship as God has called for. And it has just filled me with joy to be able to worship God on that level. Now, I want us to look for a moment at the Old Testament tabernacle to make this comparison. What made the tabernacle unique? Was it the altar of sacrifice where they slew the animal to be for the blood to be taken in to the sanctuary itself? Was it the laver where they washed before they went into the holy place? Was it the candlestick or the table of showbread or the altar of incense in the holy place? Or was it even the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies? Was that what made it unique? In some aspects, yes. But as wonderful as all these items of worship were, they were not the unique factor in the temple. That which set the temple apart from any other place of worship was the fact that the Spirit of God, the presence of God, was resident in the temple over the Ark of the Covenant. I say hallelujah to that. I rejoiced in that. Now look at the true worshiper of Jesus Christ, the born again believer who has the Spirit of God within him. What makes the worshiper of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit unique? Is it the songs that we sing? Is it the enthusiasm with which we praise and worship, if we dance, or the instruments, or the house of worship? Well, as exciting as all these things can be, they are not that which makes the born-again believer in Christ unique in his worship or any other aspect of his spiritual life. That which sets the true worshiper apart from all others is that the Spirit of the living God is not only in us, but is worshiping through us. We need to get out of the way and let the Spirit of God shine through us. Hallelujah. I say that again and again, that the blessed God has placed his Holy Spirit in us to bring worship through us. Bible says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." Again, to clarify how we are able to love. This type of love does not come from our corrupt nature. In our hearts dwelleth no good thing again. But love must come from the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. We must yield to the urging and the wooing of the Holy Spirit in us. We must bear the fruit of the Spirit in worship. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? It is love. Then the fourth verse says, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. Who is it that overcometh the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Verse 5. So, as in the first verse that I read in chapter 5, the word "believe" must be clarified. It is a belief that responds with a heart to that which the mind understands. "If you shall believe with your heart," it says in Romans 10, 9 and 10. Now, how do we believe with the heart if it is not with the inner self surrendered? We must surrender our inner self to the Holy Spirit to guide us, walking in the Spirit. Believing in this must be defined as being born again. So believing in this case is defined as being born again. And what does it mean to overcome the world? Well, to turn from self and self-will to Christ's will, even as Christ did. He said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And so we are not operating in our own flesh, but in the power of God. We must resist the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the only way to possibly do that is by the power of the Holy Spirit within us to resist that sin. And who is it that overcomes? The only one who can overcome the world is the one who has the Spirit of God in him and lives his life according, again, to the moving of the Spirit of God in his life. Only the Spirit in us can overcome the world. So, again, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we are the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith. Who is it that overcometh the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" So, just closing this in summation, we must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. We must be born again by the Spirit of God. We must love God and love others by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in that, we will overcome the world. Again, all this is done by and through the Holy Spirit. Believing, loving, transformation, overcoming in us is all done by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let us live this life to the fullest with that knowledge. May God bless you in Christ's name. Amen.